Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Somebody say, I have the victory through Jesus Christ. So all they have to do is call on his name. But then Romans 10 tells you, how can they call on him whom they've never heard? How can they hear unless there be a preacher? Oh, Lord, just touch the people of Georgia. If you could do that, I'd be home in Pittsburgh tonight. I'd be sitting home in Pittsburgh, and I would just call Pastor Mike on the phone and say, let's agree in prayer for the people of Columbus. How many know God can do it with that, with me or without me? How many know he doesn't need us? The Bible tells you literally the direct opposite thing, that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send workers out into the field. Now I'm going to tell you, 10 a.m., those are not like the night service is Pepsi and the 10 a.m. services are Diet Pepsi. I just throw on a button-down shirt and ramble on a little bit about some principles of faith in the Bible. The morning services are going to be Holy Ghost meetings. For those that are here, that you've been feeling a drunk, I want to be used in this last day revival. I'm going to tell you some things out of God's word that'll take that zeal that you feel on the inside of you and grow it, and then give you specific ways to channel that zeal where you're actually doing things to build the kingdom of God. 10 a.m. Monday through Friday and 7 every night. Endeavor to make this the most spiritual week that you've ever had. Have you guys already had your spring break yet? Okay, spring break's not this week, is it? Okay, if you're in school and you need a note, I'm an actual reverend. I'll write you a note. You can miss the whole week, and I'll sign it. You can do that. They do it to get bar mitzvah. You can do it in Protestant church. Just tell your teacher that there's a new preacher in town that's like an 1800s preacher that cares more about the Bible than school. It's 1 week. 1 week. Everybody say 1 week. Say 1 week to change my life. So all they have to do, whatever someone's problem is, Jesus didn't refer sick people for further treatment. Now listen, I'm going to pray for your leprosy, but obviously that's a major disease, and prayer's good. But Luke's a doctor, and he's going to write you a prescription, and on the 1st and 15th of every month, he's going to get you some skin cream for that leprosy, and we'll go from there. Jesus never referred anybody to anyone else. The Bible says specifically in Matthew chapter 8, they brought unto him all the sick. And no matter what their sickness or what their disease or if they were possessed by evil spirits, one touch from his hand healed how many of them? Healed them all. But that was back then, right? We can't really expect that to happen now, because that's something Jesus did then and the apostles did to start the early church, and then it went away. That's not in the Bible. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But after I leave, you are the light of the world. I want you to put your hand on your belly and say, thank you, Father, that you've made me the light of the world because you dwell in me. So you have to see yourself that way. You're not an audience member. And I'm like a psychic doing a show and you're coming to hear someone speak. This fire was passed down to the disciples. Then Paul told Timothy, the second generation, Timothy, stir up the gift that came on the inside of you when I laid my hands on you. This was, if you study church history, this fire never went out. That fire that fell on the heads of the men on the day of Pentecost was passed down up through now. And it needs to be passed down again to a new generation so that you know, not only do you not have to struggle with the things everybody else struggles with, God will make you a deliverer in your generation, that when people don't know what to do, and they open up and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Instead of having a Christian there that goes, yeah, I know, me neither. Have you tried this medication? I switched from Zoloft to this or whatever. You actually take them by the hand and say, can I pray for you? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you about 100% of the time, they're going to say yes, because they opened up to you for a reason. The anointing causes people to confess. When people get around the presence of God, they just start running off at the mouth about what's wrong. I'm sure you've had people do that to you and then say, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I'm just your waitress or your server or whatever. And they told you about how bad things are at home or how bad things are with their fiance, or they had a child that was born with lung problems. When you hear that, start picking up on it. That's the anointing that causes people to start running off at the mouth and tell you what's wrong. And when they do that, it's a proof that they've already opened up to you. Then you say, well, you should see how my kids are behaving. No, grab them by the hands and say, let me pray for you. And they'll shake their head. And when you pray, God will touch. See, you think you have to be John the Baptist and Oral Roberts and Billy Graham wrapped into one. But most people have never had anybody pray for them in their life. Everybody is telling them, that's how kids are, that's how marriage goes, that's how it is, we're in a mental health crisis. They've never had somebody stand in faith and say, let me tell you something. God's going to turn that thing around for you today. And then they'll say something, oh, that'd be nice. Say, no, like that Iranian woman. No, I'm not going to invite my sister. It's going to happen. 100% she'll be there. You know that lady's sister, after she got saved, she said, can I take a picture with you? And she took a picture. She said, thanks, I want to send that to my sister. I almost feel like her sister had threatened her. And if she didn't have photo proof, there was going to be a problem. So everybody say, I guarantee it. And you're not guaranteeing it based on how godly you are. What did the Apostle Peter say when they healed that crippled man? Why look at us, gentlemen? Why look at us as though we healed this man by our own godliness? Let us plainly state that faith in the name of Jesus has made this man well, and you know how sick he was before. So you're not putting the thing on you. I think that's why a lot of people pray losery prayers, which I don't know if that's the theological term for it, but we just made one up. You know, now, Father, help this lady. And even if you don't, it's like they make a caveat in case it doesn't work so no one blames them. But it's not about you. Everybody say, it's not about me. You're pointing them to Christ. You're directing their faith to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is too faithful to fail. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of those close to you. All he's asking is that they surrender their life to him. Going back to India, that Baptist evangelist said, when those women brought their kids forward, he said, we thought, all right, you know, we're in India. Our supervisors aren't watching anyway. What could it hurt? Let's pray. So they prayed a nice, normal Christian prayer. And I'm not picking on Baptists. You'd have got the same prayer from your average Assembly of God person or Church of God. Wouldn't have mattered. People don't believe God for miracles. They don't even pray trying for there to be one. Oh, God, just be with this lady and her son. Give them grace as they battle through this physical difficulty. Those are not Bible prayers. So they prayed, Father, be with these mothers as they're with their children. Help them through this hard time. But there was a problem. Number one, those women weren't coming for grace to help them as they go through a difficult time. You had been telling them for 45 minutes, sweating and shouting about Jesus and how he's the master of everything. So they came with faith for that. Number two, they can't speak English. So your unbelief wasn't getting through to them. You were there praying for grace to go through the problem, and they were believing God for a miracle. And so when they prayed, they said, he told me, Dr. Frank Harbor from the Southern Baptist Church, he said they started having miracles, like the kid signaling to his mom, I can hear, I can see my leg, I can feel my leg. And it began to work like that. And when it finished, they said, they looked at each other and said, uh-oh, we're going to lose our jobs. You can't do this. We're not allowed to do this. What are we going to do? They said, well, let's just meet with the leadership and tell them. Can you imagine having a meeting like this? Listen, a bunch of people got healed at church. It wasn't my fault. I did everything in my power to try to make them not get healed. And they kept pressing. So he said, we met with the Baptist leadership. And that's why if you follow religion and politics at all, there was at the Southern Baptist Convention about 10 years ago, they amended that their missionaries are allowed to have miracles and speak in tongues because that stuff was starting to happen overseas. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you make a doctrinal case that it can happen overseas, but it can't happen in Georgia What does God need, a visa to come into Georgia? And he keeps getting denied. He keeps filling the paperwork out. He has a lousy attorney. God is a God who responds to faith. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care what sex you are. He doesn't care how much education you have. He doesn't care if you're in a jail cell or in the White House. He sees faith. And Smith Wigglesworth said, there's something about faith that'll cause God to pass over a million people just to get to you. That faith is coming alive in your spirit right now. God didn't bring you here tonight to leave you like you are. Tonight is a night of glorious change, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. One more time, if you receive that, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Come on, let the devil know he's in for a bad week. Somebody say the devil's defeated. That's right, and nobody knows that better than Georgia people. You had some backwoods guy beat him even in a banjo contest. So no state disrespects the devil more than here. Amen. Yeah, the devil's not going to write the final chapter of your life. Things might have been hell on earth up until now, but God didn't bring you here to frustrate you. He brought you here to hear that Christ is the answer. And when you call on him, he will pull you out of whatever trouble you're in. Now, I don't know how much of this I'm going to get into tonight. Probably not much, but that's why we have the whole week together. John 15, verse 1. Jesus continues. Actually, I'm not going to skip 12 and 13. John 14, 9. Then we'll go to 15. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work that you've seen me do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has a King James Bible, I know I'm far enough south, somebody's got to have one. What does it say in 12? Does it say whosoever? John 14, 12. I tell you the truth. Very good. Verily, verily, thanks for the help. I say unto you, anyone, it says in this in the New Living Translation, everybody say anyone. Now, I don't know how you get first 12 apostles out of that. Anyone who believes in me. First of all, in the book of Acts, you're already past the first 12 apostles. Paul was number 13. And then you had Stephen, a deacon. He wasn't even a ministry gift, who was amazing the crowds with his wisdom and by the miracles that he performed. Because it doesn't say this is a special thing for saints. Jesus said, now, again, I don't know what everybody's background is here, but personally, I've always considered Jesus a central figure in the Christian faith. And somebody that if he says something, even if nine professors from Yale Theological Seminary disagree, I'm sticking with Jesus. So what did Jesus say? I tell you the truth. Anyone, everybody say that means me. Anyone who believes in me will do the same work I have done. And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Yes, you can ask for anything in my name, and I might do it. What does it say? I will do it. You can ask anything in my name, and sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no, and sometimes I say wait, and it's not for you to question. That's not what it says. Ask anything in my name. You heard Pastor Mike when he was introducing me. He in praying over the congregation, he said, in the strong name of Jesus. That's why. Because you ask anything in my name. That's your carte blanche. Ask anything you want in my name, and I'll give it you, that your joy may be full. No scripture. Just welcome. I go back. 14:12. 13. Yes, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Not I might do it. You ask, I'll do. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Then their eyes must have been glazed over, like a lot of other. So he said it again. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And Jesus isn't a joker. If he said something, he meant it. So he's telling you, so go to John 15. John 15, 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Say that word with me. Say fruitful. Do you know what an example of fruitful is? River Church Columbus. And I'm not saying that because I'm here, because Pastor Mike's my friend. When was the first time I came here? 2016? 2016. Yeah, so going on 10 years now. And when I came here, this building didn't exist. In fact, out of habit, I went to go walk into the children's room to go preach, because that's where the old sanctuary was. And there was plenty of space there. Pastor Mike started that church, and it was not a big church. But that's why the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings, because anything that's connected to God bears fruit. Nobody that has a garden at your house is too concerned about what your garden looks like in February. Doesn't matter. I know what I'm going to do once the soil, I get it prepared, and I do what I know to do in the garden. By summertime, that thing's going to have they grow everything in Georgia. Best onions, pecans, everything, peaches, whatever else you're going to grow. I know what I'm doing, because you know what to do. And though that seed goes into the ground and it looks like nothing came out of it, the Bible says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. Everything that's connected to God bears fruit. When I came on Sunday night to Vancouver and there was 268 people there, that's a lot compared to 75. But I told Pastor Oscar on Wednesday, I said, start looking up backup venues, because this thing's going to go out of control. Because anything that's connected to the Word and to Christ can't fail. Jesus said, not I'll give my church power to survive. He said, I will build my church. I will multiply them and they'll not be few. I will strengthen them and they'll not be small. So when you're connected to God, you bear fruit without trying. During COVID, they were threatening to throw people like me in jail because we never stopped preaching in churches. Georgia cleared up faster than any state other than South Dakota. But some of the churches we went to, we'd get calls from the Department of Health. You know, hey, you better knock it off, or we might come and arrest you. Somebody said, what are you going to do if they arrest you? I'll carry on doing in prison what I'm doing right now. And I'll tell you exactly what would happen. Soon people would start getting saved left and right. Then we wouldn't have enough meeting space. Then the jailer would get touched. And I've already had this happen in Pennsylvania, where the warden had already petitioned the state to build a chapel onto the jail because we didn't have enough room to fit the amount of people that were signing up to hear the gospel. It is impossible. See, and that's why if you understand what I'm preaching you, nobody can ever threaten you or intimidate you or harass you, because you can seize my bank account, you can throw me in jail, you can take my vehicles, you can impound my jet, but you can't stop the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me. Take all that and I'll drop anywhere else and it'll all grow again, because it's not me doing the work, it is God who does the work through you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'll bear much fruit. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, they won't produce fruit. They'll produce much fruit. Was Pastor Mike looking to have a mega church? Did he get up real arrogant? I'm starting a church here. You watch. I'm going to show people how it's done in this area. No. He's as humble and classy. You know, when you think of Georgia gentleman, that's Pastor Mike. Then just was teaching the word, his wife giving Bible study on Wednesday night. I mean, zero frills. I've watched, sister came to do the Bible study on Wednesday night. I've texted her before. Keep doing, I've never seen somebody lace a message with so much Bible. People don't do that. But she decided to do it. Well, you get a call. Man, we're out of space. We're going to have to build. And they build this. I flew down for the dedication. There were a lot of people at the dedication. Then it was like how anybody builds a church. Did we build too big? Are we really ever going to fill this place? I mean, maybe we just got excited from a few good meetings and should have kept the old place. And then Sunday night, you're about 20 fat people or 32 skinny people away from it being completely overfilled. Probably could find a better way to say it than that, but I'm running on low sleep, so cut me some slack. And then he'll have to build again. And I've watched guys in Africa build an 8,000-seater and that get overfilled and them have to go to multiple service. Then build a 50,000-seater and that get overfilled and they're at five services at 50,000 and then now building a 109,000-seat church that won't be the largest church on planet Earth. It'll be the largest indoor venue in the world. Air-conditioned, indoor, 109,000, and they'll use the old 50,000-seater for overflow and they're still going to have to start with multiple services because if you stay hooked in with God, you multiply without trying. I see you multiplying this year in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The reason they want the Bible out of school and the Bible not taught to children is if you're going to get everybody on universal basic income and collapse the economy, you have to get the Bible out of people. Because if you start operating by Bible principles, they cannot shut the economy down because Christians prosper wherever they go. I see you having the best year that you've ever had in 2024, whether the devil likes it or not. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. Somebody say, I bear fruit. Say, I bear much fruit. Abraham, Pastor Abraham, come up with me real quick just for an illustration. Say it again, I bear fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. I mean, you know, it's not about what we do for God. I don't know. Such branches that don't produce fruit are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain, everybody say, that's not me. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. Well, what's the fruit you produce? Chiefly, souls brought to eternal life. Pastor Mike wasn't looking to have a big church building, but he was looking to see maximum amount of people saved in this region and discipled. Well, you can't bring a group this big to a Starbucks at Target to sit down for Bibles here. Churches don't need buildings. Yeah, your church doesn't. Because if you got six people, you can go to a Starbucks and have a little Bible study. If you brought this crowd into a Starbucks, as friendly and welcoming and inclusive as they are, they would get very exclusive quickly. We appreciate you folks being here. We know you bought coffee, but you can't bring 400 people in here and have church. Yeah, you can't. So you need a roof to keep the rain out and bugs out. But what does a church need a building for? Bugs, lightning, rain, hail, pollen. Bees, what does a church need a building for? Haven't you ever been outside? So then the amount of people getting discipled necessitated a place to sit everybody down and have them hear the word. Can you say amen? Amen. Where the owner of the Starbucks can't come and shut it down, or the owner of the Masonic Lodge. Why are Christians okay with the world owning all the buildings, all the airplanes, all the everything, when the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just? I'm telling you right now, 2024, there's going to be a switcheroo where the money that's in the wrong hands is flowing into those that produce fruit. Somebody say, I bear fruit. And I'm going to close with this because this is where God's hand's on right now for this meeting. Everybody say, I bear fruit. Then the Bible says, as you bear fruit, God will prune you like a gardener to make you be able to bear even more fruit. If I had to preach in four cities in 32 hours, 5 years ago, I would be with Jesus right now, just dead. But what happens is, and I'm sure Pastor Mike would tell you this, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but if he was who he was 5 years ago or 6 years ago when they were in the other building, if he, all he's doing now was too much for him. But God builds you and strengthens you as you stay connected to him. And what you're not able to do at all, he gives you divine power to do with ease. Just start where you're at now. My grandfather is in heaven. He pastored for 62 years. He had an interesting way of looking at life. Every morning as a pastor and as an evangelist, he would just get his assignment from the Holy Spirit for that day. How do you bear fruit? What am I supposed to do? Just get your assignment from the Holy Ghost of what he has for you to do that day. Meet with this person. Pray for this person. One thing. And you think God is sending you on all these disconnected missions, but then as time goes on, you realize that, it was all part of a plan that he had for your life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Even if you don't want to, it's too late because you sat here too long. You're going to have the most fruitful year for the kingdom of God that you ever have. You're going to hear God's voice clearly saying, this is the way. Walk ye therein. And you're going to be a major asset to the kingdom of God and a major problem to the kingdom of the devil. You said, Jonathan, I've lived a bad life. Yes, the important word is there is lived, past tense. But you're not living a bad life tonight. You're at a revival meeting when you could be anywhere else in the world. God has you here because he's going to put something in you that's going to cause you to bear much fruit and be a major frustration to the devil. I'll prune you so that you'll bear even more fruit. I thought I had my hands full having one church in Pittsburgh, and then the Lord said, now start a second one in Fort Worth. So I didn't, and it all just goes. He said, I'll make it happen. When I was starting the church, I went to a coffee shop, Black Rock Coffee Shop in South Lake, Texas. I was just finished going to the gym. I was in shorts and a t-shirt and a backwards hat and Hey Dudes, which if it was socially acceptable, that's exactly what I'd be wearing right now. And I'm sitting there having a coffee by myself, and two guys in suits walk in from one of the big Baptist churches in Dallas. They said, excuse me, are you Jonathan Shuttlesworth? I said, I am. They said, is it true you've started a church here? Well, I'm thinking they're going to give me, you know, let me just tell you a few things about starting a church in Dallas. You know, give me the same speech every new pastor gets. I said, I have started one. They said, we're glad you're here. And we want you to know that whenever you decide what building you want, we'll front you all the money at 0% interest. They said, $5 million, $7 million, $9 million, $11 million, $13 million, don't make any difference. Just when you pick a place, let us know, and we'll ship you the money at 0% and then work out a way to pay it back. And then they left. I said, thank you. I'd been in Texas about 10 days. Then on one of the meetings, when I opened with those 21 days of meetings, they said, there's a man that wants to come to the back and see you. Can we let him back? I said, sure. So he said, hi, Jonathan. I want you to know so-and-so that I brought to church tonight got really touched. I'm the liaison to the mayor of Fort Worth. He said, this was his words, the relationship that pastors work to get with the mayor for 35 years, you now have. You stay in touch with me. Here's my card. And anything we can do to help you out at the city office, you let me know. That was all within the first 14 days of being where the Lord sent me. Because it's not me trying to produce fruit. All you have to do, what's the name of this church? The River. Isn't there a place near here that's one of the top rafting places in the country? What's the name of it? Whitewater. White what? Whitewater Rapids. Very creative name they came up with. Whitewater Express. If you go there and you put your little inner tube in the water and you try to go against the current, you're going to have a hard time. And eventually that thing's going to overpower you. But if you get in the current and those guides know how to navigate it, no, don't go up there. You'll just shoot right through here. It'll be the easiest thing. And that's what you do in the spirit. God has a flow. Humans are always trying to get stuck in one place. How many remember when God moved here in 1817? How many remember that bullet from the Revolutionary War still lodged right in that thing? Hallelujah, when God saved. No. They bed down. But God isn't a tree stump. The Holy Spirit is likened to a river. He has a flow. What you're doing today won't be what you're doing tomorrow if you stay in the flow. It's not that it'll be different, but everything will continue to build and you'll bear much fruit. I tell you again in the name of Jesus, right on this first night, something is being deposited on your life from heaven and you're going to with ease bear much fruit for the Master in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Somebody say bear much fruit. My wife, and she's not here, and I'm not trying to score points with her. She already loves me. I'm telling you, she works me, outworks me probably 3-1. She does a ton of stuff back at the church. She wakes up one morning and tells me as I'm getting ready, and she's getting ready, and we're about to go separate directions. She said, I've really been feeling from the Lord to go into the prison and start preaching to the prisoners. I said, everybody say more fruit. And she's not trying to prove anything. If your fruit, if you take what I have and use it, I'll prune you and make you even more fruitful. She said, I'm going into the prison. So she brought Pastor Abraham, who I've been having stand here unnecessarily for 20 minutes, but now it'll make sense. So they both go into preach in the prison. And Adonis preaches. One of the men they're holding there is a guy from a drug cartel who's the leader of the drug cartel that if I said his name, everybody would know who he is. But I'm looking to live into my 80s, so I'm going to keep his name quiet. But I'm talking a major, maybe the most major guy from the Mexican drug cartels. His right-hand man is being held at that prison in Pittsburgh. So he's sitting there. They said he normally, the guard said, man, I can't believe he's here. He's never come to hear any of the other Bible study groups. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. My wife's not famous among the drug cartels. Oh, I've always wanted to hear her. You know, it's not Shakira, it's my wife. What made him decide to sign up that day? It's the Holy Ghost. That as you go, then the Lord begins to work to make you more fruitful. Can you say amen? You actually end up where you're doing the most you've ever done for God, and you feel the most relaxed that you've ever felt. Because it's like you just have your inner tube in the river doing the thing that God's calling you to do. You know, I bet you, and I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. I bet you when David finished that day and cut off Goliath's head, And then chased all those men down and was still walking around with his head. I bet you everybody else watched you went, wow, that's amazing. But for him, I bet you it felt like the easiest thing in the world. He trotted out there, said what the Lord told him to say, did what the Lord told him to do, and everything fell into place. Can you say amen? That's what this year is going to be like for you. You're going to feel like you're coasting, but you're going to be having the best year in your business, in your family, and everything else in Jesus' name. So they said that guy who looked like the head guy of a drug cartel, central casting from Hollywood, the tattoos, everything, he's sitting there like this. And then when my wife started speaking and he picked up on a Spanish accent, my wife's Puerto Rican, and then she spoke a little bit in Spanish, they said he whipped his head up. And then she started speaking when she saw him whip his head up in Spanish and tell him the gospel in Spanish and tell him what the Lord, you know, little skinny Puerto Rican woman talking to a guy my age that if you rise up in the cartels, you've done a few things. And the Lord, they don't relate to each other, but the Lord used my wife that day. They said, not he cried, he bawled his eyes out and then prayed the sinner's prayer. And the prisoners aren't allowed to touch you, and you're not allowed to touch the prisoners. But when they got done praying, my wife didn't know that rule, and he probably didn't care about that rule. He went up and grabbed my wife, and my wife hugged him, and he said, thank you. I feel all the filth come out of my heart. I feel like a new creature. Bear much fruit. I feel to go into the prison. What steered her into the prison? The Holy Ghost. Who steered him into the meeting? The Holy Ghost. You're not doing your own thing. There is a God who's working mightily through you in Jesus' name. Well, guess who else was in the prison meeting that day? A guy that's not just from Ghana, West Africa, like Pastor Abraham. A guy that's from region or town?
Tulsa.
No, but where? What part of Ghana was he from?
He's from Kumasi area.
Kumasi area, like him. There's, how many dialects are there in Ghana?
A lot.
And they speak the same dialect. So there's a Ghanaian man in there that's in prison, and God has, with my wife, someone that speaks his obscure dialect, and he leads him to the Lord. And they go in there, a team of four, and sent the devil on the run in night. I'm telling you, the devil is going to have the worst week he's ever had in Georgia. You're going to have the best year that you've ever had. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. If you receive that, do what you're already doing. Take those anointed Georgia hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. Come on, make a joyful noise. The devil is defeated. Somebody shout, Jesus is Lord. Jesus. Now lift both hands to the Lord and just say, thank you, Father, for anointing me tonight to bear much fruit. Once more, thank you, Father, for anointing me tonight to bear much fruit. I'm going to play you a video. This man, a lot of people don't know who he is, but a lot of people should know who he is. Evangelist Dag Haywood Mills was a medical student in West Africa. So he told me everybody that was in his class has a high position in the United States, multimillionaire as surgeons or whatever. He started a Bible study among the students. Say with me, despise not the day of small beginnings. Yeah, you got to start somewhere. Start a Bible study with your medical students. And so he did. 18, 20 students, and starts teaching them. They outgrow the classroom. And the Lord asks him at the point that he outgrew the classroom to give up his training for medicine to give himself full time to the work of the Lord. So he did. He was opposed by every prominent preacher in Ghana. We're archbishops. We're apostles. You're just a medical student. Because he didn't even dress like how you're supposed to dress to preach in Africa. He just dressed like he was a student teaching other students. So they didn't like, and then his thing started to grow. Who do you think you are? This guy's not of God. He's actually in sin. You know, people, that's what they did to Jesus. They'll accuse you of everything. The devil can't stop you. He can only try to discourage you so that you won't carry it out. Everybody say this, I will not be discouraged. I will not give up and quit. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. That's how it works. I won't be discouraged. I'm going to tell you, when I lay my hands on you tonight, if I can impart anything, I have the ability to impart the gift of I don't care. I don't care who wrote whatever on Facebook. I'm on a mission from God. And I'm going to get that mission done, whether the devil likes it or not. And that's going to come into your spirits, coming into you right now. Where you're not going to be one voice away from folding up shop. You're going to carry out the will of God for your life and complete your destiny in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, can you say aloud, amen? Amen. So he starts that Bible study, and it grows into a church. And then when the church started to grow, one day they showed up for church. I'm talking in a building like this. And when they came there, it was leveled. There were bulldozers in the parking lot, and they had bulldozed. Imagine showing up on Sunday, and the church is just flat. All your work, that building, all the work for this, and it's gone. And he said, who did this? Thinking it was going to be like another religion or some criminals. And the guy said, the order came from the president. Well, there's nobody to appeal to. The prime minister of the nation ordered your church. That guy, full of the devil, didn't like what was going on at that church and ordered it leveled. So what did he do? So he gathered up some chairs and stones and stuff and started preaching in the rubble and built it all back again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The devil will try to hit you with his best shot. But if you get back up on your feet and just keep going forward like nothing even happened, he doesn't know what to do with people like that. The devil specializes on soft targets. Keep me in prayer. Those are the people the devil likes. Keep me in prayer. The keep me in prayer. I'm going to take you off the keep me in prayer list today. You're not going to be, the only person who's going to need kept in prayer is whatever sorry demon's been assigned to your life. Because you're going to go forward and he's not going to inflict pain on you. You're going to inflict pain on his kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. So I want to show you when a man in his 20s yields his life to God. And the fruit keeps growing. They're at 6,000 churches now. And the largest crusades that are being done anywhere in the world. And that's who I got back from being with. That's my second time. I went Thanksgiving week, and then I just went 2 or 3 weeks ago in Liberia, the largest crusades that are taking place on planet Earth. And so when you see this, there's an anointing on this video, and it's an anointing to bear much fruit. I want you to watch this with the eyes of your spirit open, and I want you to let an impartation from this video get in you. And I'm going to lay hands on everybody that wants hands laid on tonight, and we're going to kick this revival meeting off like it's Friday night and we're closing it out. We're going to take it to the next level right from night one. In Jesus' name, roll it.
2004, the Healing Jesus campaign has been on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What began as a small gathering of people has grown into one of the biggest evangelistic efforts in Africa. Over the years, evangelist Dag Heward-Mills and the Healing Jesus campaign have traversed the continent of Africa, impacting nations. The evangelist has been blessed with the opportunity to visit with various presidents of these nations, sharing with them the saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
How many of you believe that can happen in America? How many of you believe that can happen in America very quickly? Now, this wouldn't apply to everybody that's here, but there's many people that go to church. They're very, very well trained. Like if you lived in Gabon or someplace like Sierra Leone, you'd be like one of the 10 best trained Christians there. You know the whole Bible. But then it's like there's been no outlet given to people to go do something. And so then it just turns into fighting over who gets to speak on Wednesday night, who gets to be the head of the young adults group, some youth pastor holding on to his youth pastor position. He's 58 years old and the head of the youth, wearing skinny jeans, looking like an egg with legs. Because there's no outlet. There's no outlet to go in. So it's like this is the Grand Ole Opry, and then everybody wants a shot at the stage to speak to the same people. But there's something God will give you to do where your branches, the Bible talks in the Old Testament, when they were blessing one of the sons, your branches will reach over the wall. And that's what God is doing right now on the earth, where you're going to have an effect outside. You know, I was preaching on that in Vancouver for the first time in my life, preaching about your branches going over the wall and God expanding your coast of influence. And there was a couple there in Vancouver that's invited May 29th to do the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. I just drove by it last month, beginning of this month. And they said, we're musicians, we're doing the Grand Ole Opry. And they asked us to please close in prayer for the people because people need prayer. The Grand Ole Opry asked them. They said, while you were preaching, the Lord spoke to us. If you have May 29th open, we want to do the music and then swing it to you and you give the altar call. They don't want them to pray for people. They want to give an altar call for people to get saved at the Grand Ole Opry. And I said, I'm in, May 29th. They're working it out this week. That's the whole, see, you be faithful in what the Lord opens, and he that produces fruit, I'll prune him and make him even more fruitful. There's not one person here that your life doesn't matter. Or that, well, whether you do it or not, we'll get it done. Everybody has their part to play. You two came together that watch me on Real America's Voice. You mind if I pray for your wife or your girlfriend? Come right around. Power of God's all over you. Come to this aisle. Probably shouldn't have even made you wait this long. Put one hand on your belly. Lift your other hand to the Lord. The Lord is strengthening you right now by His Spirit to go, that's it, to go and do what God's called you to do and enjoy these next years of your life to make great impact for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. That was going to be all. Let me play one more thing from Vancouver. Because this lady that was going to commit suicide and got saved, it's not just that she got saved. The video she found of me on live when she was going to kill herself, she'd already made up her mind to kill herself, but she has four kids. One had a birthday. I'm talking big company, successful, four children, married, everything's fine, but just crushed by the devil. And she said, I was going to kill myself, but I have a son that has a birthday in December, so I didn't want to do it in December. Then I had another one with a birthday in January, so I was going to wait till after that and do it in February. So one day I'm sitting at home. We're about to start 21 days of prayer and fasting January 2nd, and I'm off the clock, not shaving, nothing. You know, I'm going to preach three times a day for the next 3 weeks. Right now I'm doing nothing. And as I'm sitting in my living room watching some football or something, I felt, turn your laptop on and do a broadcast. So I did. Put a hat on. I looked awful. Put a hat on. Flip the thing open. And it's the only video. If you go on my YouTube channel, it's the only one that was just done from my laptop. No studio, nothing. I flipped it on. No mic. And I said, hey, I just felt to come on here and teach on prayer and fasting and some commonly asked questions people have as we start to head into the fast. So I taught on it. And then when I went to finish, you know, I thought, well, this is a teaching on prayer and fasting, but I'm going to give an invitation if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your, just in case anybody's watching. Guess who was hunting around on the internet? She said, I was looking for something about Christ because she remembered it from growing up in Iraq. She went to Catholic Church in Iraq and then in the United States when she was a girl. I want to find something about faith. And she said, your thing popped up in my feed and I watched it to the end and then prayed with you and received Jesus. Watch this testimony, and then I'm going to pray for everybody in the building, and we're going to go out of here the happiest people this side of the nut house in Jesus' mighty name. Roll it.
My name is Sandra, and I am from Vancouver, British Columbia. I came across evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth on YouTube. This was 4 years ago in February. One of my friends sent me a YouTube video, and it was on fasting. So what had happened, what led to that was that as a child, I grew up Catholic. I was raised in a Catholic family and a Catholic home. And as a child, I was sexually abused for 5 years, almost every day. And that happened in the church, in a church setting. So when I grew up, I really believed, you know, that I'm not loved and I don't deserve happiness and I don't deserve, you know, to be loved by everybody around me. So I came to a point, this was in 2019, I came to a point where I thought, you know what, this is not working. This is not going anywhere. And this was like during Christmas time. And I thought, I'm gonna have to commit suicide because I don't want to be here. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to make everybody that's around me feel this way. So I made plans to jump off a bridge, to jump off Portman Bridge, which is a bridge here in Vancouver. I made sure that our life insurance was, suicide was covered, so that way they were able to be taken care of. I made sure that I took care of our finances as a family. So I have an email typed up that I was going to send to my husband that has all of our passwords and, like, you know, like birth certificates, marriage certificates, just things that he wouldn't know where to find in the house. And I was going to make sure that, you know, he would know what to do once it happened. And so I wanted to make a video for my boys so that way they know, you know, this is nothing to do with them. They didn't do anything, you know, that caused me to take my life. So I couldn't really bring myself to do it. we were having a fellowship group at my house, and one of my friends was there. And they had no idea what I was feeling and what I was going through. Nobody did around me. And so she was fasting with her husband. And I thought, fasting, why are you fasting? You're not Catholic. I thought it was a Catholic thing. And she shared with me, what fasting does, and it's from the Bible. And I thought, okay, it can make things, it can help you and it can change you. And I figured, I'm going to try it. A YouTube video of this guy that I can send you.
Pause it real quick.
And he'll explain it. He'll break it.
Isn't that interesting? In the most liberal part of the most liberal country in North America, there's people looking for spiritual answers to problems. And so if the church doesn't give it to them, then you end up with crystals or meditation. People have a cry on the inside of them for God. You want to hear a story my grandfather told? This sounds like a weird story, but it'll make sense at the end. There was a boy in his church that would eat the erasers off pencils. Then he started eating the tires on the bicycle that they bought him. So they brought him for deliverance because they thought he was demon possessed, because that's insane behavior. When they brought him to my grandfather said, he's not demon possessed. I've been around demon possessed people. He's fine. They said, what's the problem? He said, go take him to the doctor and get him checked. That's what the Lord told him. And they'll tell you what the problem was. You know what they found out? He had a sulfur deficiency. And so as a little boy, he doesn't know what erasers are made out of or tires, but something on the inside of him knew where the answer was. And he ate the erasers and ate the tires because he needed sulfur. And that's where people are. See, some of you might not even know why you came tonight, but you don't have a sulfur deficiency. You have a deficiency of God's presence, and your deep calleth out to deep. And God has you here to turn your life around tonight. In Jesus' name. Continue.
Down and you'll understand. And so I thought, okay, that's fine. So she sent it. And that's when she sent me Evangelist Jonathan's YouTube channel and that video, the link to that video. So I watched the morning video, which is a broadcast that he was doing on the intro for 21 Day Fasting and Prayer. And then it was the night service where he started preaching on John 10:10, which is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And he spoke on how if you've experienced, tragedy, or if you've experienced trauma or anything that you've gone through in life, God is not the cause. And that Jesus loves you, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to deliver you, and he just went through it so well, and he explained it so well. And obviously, at that moment, I realized, and he even said, it's the enemy that comes that, obviously causes what I went through, and then all the thoughts. So at that night service, I gave my life to the Lord, and I went through the fast for 21 days. And I remember on the 21st day, we were in Mexico, we were having a family vacation. And prior to that, I mean, we've been married for 10 years. And prior to that, every family vacation was terrible because of obviously what I had gone through. And it was on the 21st day, we were sitting in Mexico, and my husband said, this is probably, and he had no idea I was fasting. He had no idea what I was doing. And he's like, this is probably one of the best family vacations we've ever had. And so I explained what had happened, and here we are. So after that, this was in February 2020. Obviously, you go through the lockdowns, all of that happened. And in May, I got called into the ministry. I enrolled into Bible school, I think in September. And I completed that. I sold my business. And, I've been in ministry since. I'm in ministry now. And, praise God. All glory to God. And I'm so thankful for Evangelist Jonathan in the ministry, because God used him to save my life.
That church, she gathered all the other Iraqis up she could find and had them watch the video. And they would meet every Sunday to do that during the lockdown. And that's how that church started, and that's why that revival started. So you go from a lady that was going to kill herself, and that's the end, to those 505 people that were in that church on Friday night, and all the crusade that's going to come out of it, that all came from that. I want you to hear me very clearly. Your problem that you're going through is not about you having a problem. It's the devil thinking, just like 95% of people, that he can saddle you with one thing and then just make you completely ineffective, whether you kill yourself or board yourself up in your house, barely go to church. But when you kick that thing tonight, it's not just about you getting free. What happens is, in overthrowing that, the thing the devil put on you to keep you from bearing fruit, now you're going to be a nightmare to the powers of hell. That's why it's so important to come tonight and be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get delivered, it's not just you. You're going to go out and be a wrecking ball to the kingdom of hell in Jesus' mighty name. Stand on your feet, everybody. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the great people of the great state of Georgia. Strong people, God people. I thank you for their lives. I pray tonight that every person that came into this meeting, broken, beaten down, something took place in their life that the enemy meant and thought would sideline them forever and take them to hell. I pray tonight, like a heat-seeking missile, your anointing would draw that thing out of them right now. And they would realize, like Sandra realized, I don't have to put up with the devil's mess. I can give that thing to God. I can lay that on the altar tonight and be changed. And I'm going to do it tonight. Give every person boldness. In Jesus' name, to cross that bridge tonight and never be the same. Raise up a mighty generation of young people. Light a fire in the people my age, mothers, fathers. Put a fresh fire on grandparents, grandmothers, grandfathers, seniors. Let a mighty army come out of this place tonight. I pray your spirit would speak to people deep on the inside that there's no sin they've committed. There's nothing that's happened to them that's too great for the blood of Jesus to wash away. Wash away every impurity. Wash away everything the enemy's put on the inside of them that makes life no fun, never can get ahead. Marriage can't work. Children can't work. I pray that this encounter they have with you tonight would change everything. In Jesus' mighty name, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, Jonathan, something happened to me in life, and I've been saddled with bondage since then. I'm not living life more abundantly. Like Sandra, life's hard. Getting through the day's hard. At night, I wish it was the morning. At morning, I wish it was night. But I want to be free. I believe that Jesus will set me free. I believe he died for me. I believe he'll lift addiction, bipolar, severe depression, maybe even like Sandra, where you've basically made up your mind, I'm out of here. I don't want to be on this planet anymore. But tonight God brought you here to save you from destruction. They don't use that term flippantly in the Bible. Saved. You heard Sandra, he saved my life. Jesus came to save your life, not to get you to join a religion, to save your life. Somebody make sure you start drinking when you're 16. If you go to school, 17 at the latest. And that alcohol opens the door to a lot of things. And people spend the rest of their life and never get free from the things they open the door to in their youth, but not you. You're going to call on the name of Jesus Christ, and you're going to find out what I said a little over an hour ago. Christ is the answer. When I was younger, I was preaching on that, and the old preacher I was preaching for said, you make it sound like if people give their life to Jesus, it solves all the life problems. Well, when he said that to me, I made up my mind, if I was only making it sound like it, let me say it directly. Giving your life to Jesus Christ will solve all of life's problems. He'll lift your heavy burden and give you his heart and his strength instead. If you're here and you say, Jonathan, that's me. I'm going through a very difficult time. I'm going through hell where it feels like life's not even worth living. I don't want to live like that one more night. I want to lay my head to the pillow and know that I have peace with God and my sins are all forgiven. I'm going to give you an invitation to join me at the altar like you saw those people do in Vancouver. And I'm going to pray with you. We're not going to hold you long. We're not going to do anything weird. We're going to pray. And when you call on the name of Jesus, it is going to commission all of heaven's power to break you out of the bondage that you're in. 100% guaranteed. Let me throw this in. The last day that I was in Vancouver, there was a lady that came in off the street, and I was heading in to preach, and they said, "Can you pray for this lady before you go in to preach?" I said, "No, tell her to come in the service. She doesn't need prayer. She needs to hear the word." See, until you give your life to Christ, then the Bible says Satan is legally your master. You're under his authority. So he'll leave you while I'm here, and then you'll go back home, and the problems will continue. But when you transfer ownership and come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, the same way a police officer from Senegal can't harass me in America because I'm not in his jurisdiction, the devil can't harass you because spiritually you've left his domain and you're seated with Christ in heavenly places far above every work and enchantment of the devil. If you're here young and old and you say, "Jonathan, that's me. I want to surrender my whole life to Jesus Christ." You don't have to clean things up. Sandra didn't have to get off medication and get counseling and stop thinking those thoughts, then come to Christ. Jesus doesn't say, "Get your life cleaned up and then come to me." He says, "Come just as you are, and I'll take your old life and I'll give you a new life." If you say, "Jonathan, I need to do that tonight. I want to lay my head on my pillow tonight and know I have peace with God. My sins are all forgiven." I want you to quickly put your hand up high and wave it at me. We're going to pray right now. In Jesus' name, keep your hands up. That's awesome. Awesome. Anybody else before we pray? Man, I'd have drove here for that many people. In Jesus' name. This is awesome. To go home with a smile, a genuine smile. No more fake smiles and fake laughter. Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.